This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Juana Luz Tobar Ortega stepped into St. Barnabas Episcopal Church in Greensboro nearly 2 years ago. Threatened with imminent deportation, she sought temporary refuge there, and the church obliged. Her family was grateful for what they were hoping was a short-term solution, but as the weeks turn to months and years, Sanctuary is looking more and more like a dead end. The documentary film Sanctuario captures Juana's life in limbo. The film is screening at the Full Frame Documentary Film Festival this weekend. Christine Delp and Pilar Timpain co-directed and co-produced the film, and they join me now. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thanks for having
us. Also joining us is Lesvi Molina, Juana's daughter. She also appears in the film. Lesvi, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let me start with you. You're joining us by phone. Tell us how your family is doing.
Well, not good. My mother has been now in Sanctuary for 2 years. So, like you said, everything's looking like a dead end right now, but We're still trying to do our best to get her out of Sanctuary soon.
Tell us more about Lesvi. Tell us how she came to be in Sanctuary.
Well, so my mother had been in she had applied for an asylum back in 93, and she had to leave the country. But she had an emergency that she had to leave out of the country. And so by leaving the country, she practically violated her asylum that was still in process when she left. She came back and worked normally with a work permit for a really long time. And then in 2011, she was taken by ICE and essentially, she was going to be deported at that time, but the laws were different, and she was able to get out with a work permit again, keep working. She doesn't have any criminal record, and she was able to prove that she was no threat to the country. And she was in. She had like a work permit that she would renew every year, and she would check in with ICE every so often. But then, whenever everything changed, and once Trump came into administration, all those laws changed. And essentially, she was her last check-in in April of 2017. She was told that she had to leave the country in 30 days. So at that time, we tried to do everything we could. We had the community. And we did different things with congressmen and, trying to get them to speak for her or help her out. And nothing happened. No one was willing to help her. And so we met. I had met Andrew in the past from Friends Service Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that introduced us into Sanctuary and what it was. And we had no idea what it was because it was something very new, even in North Carolina. I don't think there'd been a person in Sanctuary before. And at first, my mother didn't want to do it. She said, I'm not going to be free. I'd rather just go back to my country and be free there. But she has four children, two American citizens and two with DACA recipients. I'm a DACA recipient. And she, the more she thought about it, the more, sense it made, she'd be here in the country. And, we wouldn't be able to travel to see her. So that's how she basically decided the Sanctuary would be best for our family.
Well, Christine Delp, tell us how you came to this story and saw this as part of your documentary.
Sure. So I come from a fairly conservative faith community. My family's not conservative, but a lot of the people that I grew up with are. And, family separation was really weighing on my heart. And I was looking to tell a story about family separation that reframed it for a Christian audience, and basically said that keeping families together is part of what our responsibilities of the church are. And so when I saw Juana's story on the news, I thought, wow, this speaks to all of that. And so I reached out to Pilar, who I'd worked with on a different project. And Pilar has a lot of experience telling immigration stories. She has a lot of experience telling faith stories. She actually has a divinity degree from Duke Divinity. And so we went and we met Juana and we spent some time with her. And we thought that this story just had to be told to reframe family separation for a different kind of audience.
Pilar, talk about the way in which you tell this story in a documentary. We think about migration. There's a lot of movement and a lot of space that's indicated when you talk about migration. And this story takes place in one room, essentially.
Yes, that's definitely part of the challenge of telling the story was relating it to an audience, as Christine was talking about, but also trying to think about how do you frame the story and tell the story from the perspective of a family that's going through it. And Christine and I both feel that we haven't seen enough of those stories, first-person perspectives, trying to relate the damage that it causes a family to lose someone to a deportation, for example, and what that really does to, in our film, Leslie and her brothers and sisters, as well as her children. And so that was kind of our focus, was always to make sure that the space was for Juana and her family and telling their own story.
And Leslie, talk about that. As you say, your mother was here with a work permit, was working, had not done anything to violate the rules of that work permit, was checking in with ICE regularly. I think you said the laws changed. I think to be more accurate, the way in which the laws were enforced changed as a result of Donald Trump's mandates. The law didn't change much. And so in some ways, we're seeing a shift in attention and not in legislation. But what does that do to your relationship? How did things change for you and your family once your mother was in sanctuary?
Well, they have drastically changed. It's literally like a 360 turn. But the thing is that, a lot of people don't realize that, yeah, she's still in the country, but she's in sanctuary. Being in sanctuary is already a separation of families because we are 45 minutes away from where she lives. We also hold jobs. I work as well. She has two kids that are in school, one in college and one is in high school. And so she's in sanctuary, but she can't have, like, my family cannot be in sanctuary with hers just so that we can care with our normal lives. And, it's hard because she's there by herself and she is in the country, but she's already separated from her family.
And we talked about the aspect of religion in this, Christine, which is one of the things that attracted you to this and the idea of sanctuary, which, again, we talk about discretion. There is discretion on how we can enforce this. It changed with Donald Trump, and that's why Juana and others are in this situation. ICE also has discretion. The fact is there is no law that keeps ICE out of a church, right?
No. Sanctuary is it's more of an ancient tradition. There is a Obama-era memo that advises ICE to not enter sensitive locations like churches, hospitals, and schools. But it's more of a longstanding practice where, it would look very bad for ICE to come and take Juana away.
But it points to the amount of discretion in this case.
Absolutely.
While the United States of America was practicing discretion, Juana was working in this country as a very productive citizen of this, not a citizen, but acting as though, with paying taxes and providing for within the economy and her family, and then discretion changes. And still, ICE has discretion. Now talk about the role of the church. I want to play a clip from the film. This is the Reverend Randall Keeney, who's speaking in St. Barnabas Episcopal Church about the rationale to provide sanctuary.
There are times when people of faith have to make a choice between serving the people that we believe God has called us to serve and serving the government. And some laws are simply unjust.
That's Reverend Randall Keeney preaching and also speaking. I'm speaking with my guest Pilar Timpain and Christine Delp. They're co-director and co-producer of the documentary Santuario. And I'm also here with Lesvi Molina, the daughter of Juana Luz Tobar Ortega, who is the subject of the film. It's going to be screened at Full Frame Documentary Film Festival in Durham tomorrow afternoon and evening. Then again at the River Run International Film Festival in Winston-Salem on April 7th and the 12th. Pilar, talk about this, because I think initially you thought about this as being almost centered on this kind of religious question, right?
Well, definitely that was the beginning of our interest in the story. And so, as you were saying, under the changes under Donald Trump, basically, there was a change in prosecutorial discretion. And around that time, there was a lot of communities of faith that were talking about what can we do to create safe spaces, to accompany people. And sanctuary was one of the, I guess, tactics and ideas that was discussed and talked about. And so Randall and others in the state, and there have been almost more churches than any other state that have really taken up this idea of sanctuary in North Carolina. And so Randall was one of the very first. I mean, Juana was the first person to take sanctuary in this recent movement in North Carolina. And we found in Randall the kind of person that thinks of his faith as, you know, action and doesn't just think of it as, you know, something that you read in a book, but actually something that you make a decision to follow something. And you think about what are the ways that you can put that into place in your faith community, in your home. And for them at St. Barnabas, they spoke about it as a vestry team. They're an Episcopal church, and they decided that if someone was going to need sanctuary, that they were going to provide a place to do that.
Have you seen, Christine, in terms of the community now, as you, you know, do this film and work certainly with Juana, but also take a look at the larger community, what's been the response in the community to this, and have there been any changes over time?
Pilar, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. Well, I think a lot of people know in this area about that there's more than one person who's been in sanctuary in Durham, North Carolina, and also in Chapel Hill. There was a very unfortunate situation that happened with Samuel Oliver Bruno, and he was deported in the midst of his sanctuary community that went with him to an ICE checkup. And that was a really terrible and sad thing that happened. And I think that really caused a sort of rupture. And in terms of the wider sanctuary community all over the country, we recently were able to bring this film to a church in Austin where they also have people in sanctuary. And for them as well, they're all facing similar problems where laws are not becoming more hospitable, they're becoming less hospitable. So like currently, I know that yesterday there was a House bill that went through the House, House Bill 370, and that's going to, if it passed, force sheriffs and law enforcement to cooperate with ICE. So that would be almost like a reversal.
That's a state legislature, yeah.
It would be, yeah. But it's that's almost like a reversal of certain ways in which communities and cities have tried to create more sanctuary-oriented laws and observances.
Yeah, it talks about whether these movements that we're seeing politically are actually going against the grain and against the popular will, at least the majority will, although there may be a vocal minority who feels otherwise. Lesvi, Christine, I want to ask you this question. Then I've got some questions for Lesvi, but you had an all-female team, and I wonder how that played into the dynamics of creating a film like this.
Yeah, so Pilar and I have a a female director of photography. We've worked with other female cinematographers. We have a female editor, really an outstanding crew that we're really thrilled to be working with. But what that allowed us to do in this particular story is have a certain kind of access to Juana and her family. Juana's family is almost all women. There's three generations of really incredible women, her daughters and her granddaughters, and they are the center of our story. And so I think because our team was women, we were able to have really intimate moments and experiences with her family. We were able to have sleepovers at the church, which is where we got, I think, some of our most interesting content.
Well, let me ask Leslie about that and what it's like to have a documentary made about your family.
Well, it's great. I can't even believe it. But I mean, at first, my mom was the one that told me that there was going to be a documentary, and I really hadn't met Dilara Christine when my mom had told me. And I said, really, a documentary? Like, seriously, like the one of those that come out on TV? And I remember mom and I joking about it, but it's great. I think it's an awesome tool used for others out there that might be going through the same situation as mom is, and they don't know what sanctuary is. And I think essentially it helps, you know, then make a decision whether this is something that they want to do or they don't want to do. We know that there's thousands of cases out there going through the same thing we're going through. Maybe not in sanctuary, but, you know, trying to decide whether sanctuary is an option for them.
Pilar, you have taken this film around the country now. You've screened it in a number of places. What kind of response are you getting?
I think that we've had a good response, I hope. And definitely we think of this as a Southern story and a story about people from North Carolina. And so it's really wonderful to bring that story to different places and find that people can connect with it and also hopefully see themselves in it and think about what is it like for yourself as a daughter or a mother to go through something like that.
Well, it's interesting to hear that North Carolina, you know, it was and perhaps still is one of the largest participants in the sanctuary movement, but that shouldn't be surprising because this is the Bible Belt, right? This is where church-going folk are still very strong and have strong influence, and it appears that this is a strong moral virtue that many people in this state see as something that is far superior to other kinds of codes. And so it's fascinating to see this as a Southern story.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that also really interested us in this story is kind of the idea of unexpected characters doing really radical work. Sometimes I think we have a certain picture of what it means to be an activist, but this story is, you know, a grandmother being an activist, refusing to be separated from her family. And it's also, it's a story of, you know, Southern church ladies refusing to let families be separated. And so we're really hoping to, subvert some stereotypes about the South, what it means to be Southern and what it means to be Christian.
Leslie, very briefly, can I ask you about your mother's faith and how that has played a part, or if that has played a part in her being able to endure this?
Yes. So my mother, she's a very strong, faithful lady. She is a member of the Pentecostal Church in Asheboro currently, because we still have brothers and sisters from our current church in Asheboro coming to visit her and give her more support and trying to give her hope and try to give her a word of God. And that really has made a lot of difference, because you've got to think about 2 years of being in sanctuary, 2 years you can't work, 2 years you can't go back home. And we really couldn't have, I don't think that she couldn't have done it without, you know, especially God. But and the community, our church community, they have They've been very responsive.
Lesvi Molina is the daughter of Juana Luz Tobar Ortega. My guest also, Christine Delp, one of the directors and producers of Santuario, and Pilar Timpain, who directed and produced and did cinematography for the film. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Going to be at Full Frame Documentary Film Festival very soon. Check our website, stateofthings.org, to find out more about that and also River Run. Coming up, Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright talks with us about her latest production.